Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Romans is arguably the definitive book of the Bible regarding Christian doctrine. But we're finding out that it is much more than that. It's really a book opening the way for all of us as believers in Christ to enter the rich experience of the saving life of Christ every day. Welcome to the Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. And here with us today to discuss these portions is Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to another Life Study of Romans.
I'm glad to be here again.
Ron, we're going to be moving around quite a bit today, beginning in Romans chapter 5 and then going on to chapters 12, 14, and eventually chapter 15. But I think this verse in chapter 5, verse 10, is really the key to today's portion. The verse says, "For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life, having been reconciled." This "much more" aspect really takes our salvation past the doctrinal and objective realm, doesn't it, Ron?
It does for Paul. But from my observation and study and experience, it is not the situation of very many Bible teachers, theologians, preachers, or believers. So many, especially those in the Reformed tradition, stress, maybe even overstress, the objective justification by grace through faith. I say overstress in that it's to the virtual exclusion of verses such as chapter 5, verse 10. So we have already been reconciled to God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's been set forth as propitiation placed through faith in his blood. We are saved not by works, but by grace through faith, a gift of God. But look at 5:10. Much more. We need to take this seriously and pray about this. Lord, what is this much more? Paul speaks of being saved, but we're already saved, according to Ephesians 2:8. By grace you are saved through faith. We believe into the Son of God. We believe in his resurrection. We're saved in the sense of having eternal life and assurance. But this is another kind of saving that's described throughout much of the remaining chapters in Romans. So we need to realize our need to be saved by Christ's vicarious redemptive death. We are not saved by objective justification. We are saved in Christ's life. And that may also be rendered by his life, but to say in his life is deeper and richer, but both are accurate. So this is a very strong emphasis in this life study of Romans, because it's a very strong emphasis in Romans. And we need to wake up and be alerted and reread and restudy, especially chapters 5 through 8. What does it mean to be saved in his life? From what are we saved? How are we saved? And what is the much more? Our Christian life, according to Paul in Romans, is a much more life. May the Lord enlighten us and then shepherd us into the daily living of the much more life through which we are saved in the life of Christ.
Thanks, Ron. Let's get right to Witness Lee's portion today, and let's join him right now for our life study from the book of Romans.
We still need to be in the Romans. This book could be expressed with three words: redemption, life, and building. In the first two chapters, what is covered there is redemption. And the middle part is life. And eventually, what comes out from redemption and life is the building of the body. Redemption, life, and building. After being saved, justified, reconciled to God, much more we shall be saved in His life. God's purpose is not just to save us from the hell, to save us from His judgment, to save us from being lost. God's purpose is passive. He has a positive purpose to accomplish in the whole universe with us. And this positive purpose of God is to build a body, a corporate expression of His Son, Jesus Christ. So this book doesn't stop at redemption, justification, and reconciliation. Rather, it goes on to reach the very goal of God's eternal purpose. And the way for God to go on to reach His purpose is by life. There's no other way. Life. So, from chapter 5, this matter of life has been mentioned, has been brought in. Brought in not in a doctrinal way, but in a way of experience. Paul says, being reconciled as enemies to God, much more we shall be saved in His life. It is in this way, this little term, life, was brought in. Being reconciled to God, much more we shall be saved in His life. It doesn't say we have been saved, but it says we shall be. After reconciliation, something has to be going on. We shall be saved. We need to be saved day by day, minute by minute. Every hour, even every second, we need to be saved. To be saved not by His death, but to be saved in His life.
Ron, this verse, our topic, Romans 5:10, really presents us with a turning point in Romans. Witness Lee mentions something briefly that I want to come back to, and that is the change of tenses that take place in this verse. It starts out past tense that we were reconciled through His death, but now much more we shall be saved in His life. What's the implication of this change in tense from past to future?
Well, the will be, the future tense, indicates at least two main things. One, we have an urgent need. And if we are enlightened, we will realize it's a desperate need. We need to be saved from indwelling sin, from ourself, from the world, from being divisive, from expressing ourself. Actually, as an unsaved person in the natural realm. So this is something yet to take place. But unfortunately, although Romans has 16 chapters, many don't go beyond chapter 4 or the first part of chapter 5. When you mention Romans to them, they think immediately objective justification, saved by grace through life. This is the foundation, no doubt about it. We must have this foundation. But then we must go on. From there, Paul speaks of being transformed, of being sanctified, of walking in newness of life, of serving in newness of spirit, of our old man being crucified. He talks about Christ being in us, the Spirit of Christ being in us. All of these experiences are in Romans. But where is the proper and thorough, comprehensive teaching about this? This is a process that is gradual. We may hear the gospel, hear the truth concerning being saved by grace through faith, through God's righteousness, and Christ being righteousness to us. We rejoice in this. That can be settled in a brief period of time. But then we have the rest of our life. We should be in this process of the various aspects of much more being saved in his life. So this is our immediate spiritual future. And that future should become our daily present. Lord, day by day, save me in your life. Sanctify me, renew me, transform me, conform me, glorify me. This we need desperately, and this is a strong burden in these life study messages.
Let's get back to Witness Lee for more of today's life study.
We need to be saved in his life. What is his life? We all know. He told us clearly and definitely and emphatically, I am the life. He himself is the life. To be saved in his life is simply to be saved in the person himself. He is our life. It has to be in him. You have a picture in typology. The eight persons of Noah's family got saved, not by the ark, but in the ark. We all have to see we do have an ark for us to stay in. We are in the ark. That's Christ. And this Christ is our life. And we are in him. In him we are being saved. As long as we are in him, we are in the process of being saved. In this life, we are being saved from the law of sin. To be saved in the life of Christ is firstly to be freed from the besetting sin. And the besetting sin is just a law. It's a law, a natural thing, an automatic thing. The besetting thing is so natural. You don't need to strive in order to tell a lie. To lie is just like something falling. It's so easy. You don't need to make up your mind to lose your temper. You don't need. To lose temper is so natural because it is a law. The law of sin and of death. In the life of Christ, we are being freed. Also by a law. As long as we are in this life, it's so easy to be freed from the besetting sin. It is also an automatic thing. It's wonderful. Then, to be saved in life is to be sanctified. And to be sanctified is just to be saved from being worldly. In our nature, there is the tendency to go down to be worldly. So we need to be in life that we could be delivered from the worldliness. Don't try to be not worldly. That doesn't work. But you are in a life. And this life will separate you from the worldliness. And this is to be sanctified, not only positionally, but also dispositionally.
Well, Ron, any of our listeners that have been following the life study of the Bible must now know that this is not a ministry that puts much value in self-improvement programs. Here in this section, we had a clear type of our salvation presented with the story of Noah's Ark. Those who got in the Ark experienced salvation. What's the parallel here, Ron, to our experience?
Well, Matt, you did say there's not much stress on self-improvement. Actually, I'm not aware of even any emphasis on this at all. It's vain. It is the self trying to prove itself, the fallen man trying to perfect himself. That's impossible. We need salvation in life. But you mentioned the typology of Noah and his family in the ark. The ark is a type of Christ. When the great judgment of the flood came upon the earth, Noah, his wife, and the remainder of his family were brought into the ark. We may say the ark was the means by which they were saved, but actually, they were not saved by the ark, as if the ark was external to them. They were saved in the ark by being in the ark. And the ark typifies Christ, who saves us from God's judgment upon the fallen creation, and in his resurrection brings us into a new realm. So the crucial thing is in Christ. We are saved in his life. No wonder the Lord emphasizes in John 15 that we should abide in him. When the branches abide in the vine, all that is in the vine flows into them. Likewise, by being in Christ, all that Christ is and has attained and obtained are available to us through the Spirit of life for us to be saved in Christ, saved in his life. This is the emphasis here.
Thanks, Ron. That's a clear picture and a good parallel for us as we cope with all the things that are covered in the much more part of this salvation. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of this life study from the book of Romans.
This is not the last item. We read the book of Romans carefully. We could see after to be saved from being worldly, we have to be saved again from being natural. This means we have to be transformed. Not only to be sanctified, we have to be transformed. To be sanctified is mainly to be separated from being worldly. But just to be separated is not sufficient. We need to be transformed. We need a change, not an outward change, but the inward change. A change which is called the transformation. And this word in English, transformation, is equivalent to a word in Greek that has the root of the word metabolism. So this transformation is a kind of a metabolic change. Suppose my face does look so nice. The color is pale, P-A-L-E. Then I put some white, some pink upon my face. Well, that is a change, no doubt about. But an outward change, an outward change of human doing, nothing organic. God's way is not like that. The right way for me to change my outlooking of the face is not to put on the colors, but to eat. Then after 2 months, maybe, I will come back. You can see me. My, not by our doing, but by the inward transformation. My whole appearance has been changed. This is the transformation in the organic way. And here in Romans 12, 2, specifically says, transformed by the renewing of the mind. You know, the source of the trouble is our mind.
Yeah.
Because our mind has been saturated, permeated with all the natural concepts. I can tell you, cases after cases in the past, we saw so many dear saints coming into the church life with certain amount of concepts. And we learned not to argue, not to argue, and not to touch. Just, number one, to pray for them. Number two, to minister life to them, that they may grow as they were growing. And we realized the transformation in their soul by the renewing of their mind. Well, this is what the building of the church needs today. Much more we shall be saved in his life. The more transformation we have, the more we are saved in his life. So this saving life is being seen in our transformation. This is what we need today. We all have to pray, Lord, grant us, grant the church, grant myself, grant my dear brothers and sisters such a real inward organic transformation.
Ron Witnessly sometimes uses terms that may not be familiar to all of our radio listeners, and when such is the case, we like to take the time to come back and examine them more carefully to just make sure that we see the meaning that he intends. Let's talk about the organic aspect of the transformation that Romans presents. What do we mean here by the word organic?
Organic, in this context, refers to something intrinsically a matter of life. Something that's organic, in this context, really is the saving life of Christ and our experiencing an organic salvation. That is, quoting Romans 5:10, our being saved gradually in his life, that is, in an organic realm, by means of an organic element. Stated as simply and succinctly as possible, life saves. The life of Christ saves. Colossians 3:4 speaks of Christ our life. Christ our life saves. This saving is organic. It takes place in the realm of life. It is carried out by life. It issues in the growth and development of the divine life within us until, as Romans 5:17 reveals, We reign in life because, according to verse 21 of that chapter, grace reigns unto eternal life. Now, this grace is reigning unto eternal life in us, and we receive of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This is reigning in life. This is all organic. But so much of systematic theology, if not virtually all of it, is a system that's objective, it's doctrinal, it's outward. There is no element of life in it. But in the New Testament, the divine truth revealed in the Word contains life and imparts life, so the truth ministered to us brings us into an organic realm, the realm of life, where we are saved much more in Christ our life.
Ron, thank you for your fellowship today. Another very profound and helpful life study from the Book of Romans for all of us. We appreciate having you here and hope you'll come back very soon.
I'll gladly do so.
We hope you'll continue with us as we go on through the life study of Romans. For Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.